Hello and welcome back to Corgi Town USA. I am Candy in my lap is Chuckles, our spokescorg.
And I am Catherine. Somewhere around my feet is my little baby, Digby.
Digby the doof.
Digby the doof.
We also have Indy, your honorary corgi.
Indy is my honorary corgi.
Senior boy.
Senior boy.
We also have Booger in studio and Mortimer Barnabas. He's at my feet. And we also have the newest member of the Corgi Committee, Tito Bandito.
Tito Bandito, yay!
He's a little dude. He's a little puppy dude. And we put him in his crate because he's a little
hyper.
Puppy dude.
Yeah, he's a little hyper.
We tried to put him in cat's lap for the broadcast, not having it.
That wasn't working.
He's not the tenured professional that Chuckles is for broadcast.
That's true. I mean, like, you know, when Digby is calmer than, you know, you got a problem.
Actually, he's a pretty calm puppy.
Yes, he is.
But he just has the propensity to get into mischief. And who wouldn't at that age as a young corgi pup? The world is so exciting.
It is.
Well, if you are new here, hi, welcome. Thank you for joining us here well into our fifth season. Hard to believe. Every episode, I'm like, can't believe we're in our fifth season. I don't know how long we're going to keep doing this, but I feel like I'm just going to say that every season from here on out. I can't believe we're still here. Now that we're older and wrinklier and grayer and...
I don't know why you keep saying that. It's
because I feel like I'm older and wrinklier and grayer.
I am like fine wine. I am so much better with age.
I'm like an old boot. I'm not.
You're comfortable. Anyway.
What we call it?
Yeah. We've got a guest.
We have a guest today. Oh, yeah. We're doing things. Anyway, this is what we do. Welcome. We're a podcast all about pets and their people, corgi centric, but all about pets and pet parent lifestyle. We do have a creator series where we talk to authors, creators, and artists, but we also talk about grooming, training, and health of your pets. So we have a very special guest today. I am in possession of a book called Outsmart Your Pet's Cancer. And we have the privilege of having the author with us, Tanya Harder Pierce. Let's bring her on. Tanya, welcome.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here with you both.
Thank you for taking the time. We appreciate you so much and your expertise and your research and bringing it to us.
Thank you.
We have some questions, lots and lots of questions. I'm sure we could talk a bunch about this. But we kind of want to start, like, how did you get started with this, writing the book, this journey, this research?
Yeah, back in 2001, which was a long time ago, my older brother was diagnosed with cancer. And he was not given a good prognosis. So, and he also was very much afraid of chemo and didn't want to do that. So I started looking into alternative treatments for him as options or choices. And I didn't know anything about the field at the time. But I just over a few months of searching found out so much information, it just blew me away. There were so many alternative non-toxic cancer treatments that work really well that have been around for decades, actually. And so I started getting a lot of information about each of those treatments. And I thought at first I'd maybe make a little pamphlet and give it to friends or family. And then got so much information, I decided to make it a book. And that became my first book, which is a big 500-page book called Outsmart Your Cancer.
Wow.
I've been selling Outsmart Your Cancer for 20 years now. The first edition came out in 2004. And it's all for people, really, though there are some animal cases in it, but it's got like 21 different alternative cancer treatments. So I became a real expert on alternative cancer treatments and learned a lot about conventional cancer treatments, too. And about 5 years ago, I wanted to see if I could create a book about what to do if your dog or cat has cancer. And I had to figure out which approach to focus on because I wanted to make it about one approach. And SEACT became the best candidate, and I found an amazing source of it with lots of cases of dog and cat recoveries, mostly dog, mainly because dogs develop cancer more frequently. They have a higher rate of cancer than cats. So then this book came into being.
So it just seems to me, I don't know, is it the food? Is it the same as humans with the environment and everything? But just dogs more and more seem to get cancer. You seem to hear about it more and more, and it's so sad.
Well, yes. I don't want to say that without bringing out some specific numbers. I think that we're going to pay attention to it more.
Okay.
And you and I live in a dog world. We do the show. We, you know, our friends, our associates, we're part of that world. So we definitely see and hear it more. So it's easy to say, oh, more and more. So I don't want to say that without
real numbers.
Without numbers. And yes, there is a dog that is hotboxing us in here. I would like to blame Digby. Woo, dog toots. But anyhow, I think that if we were to opine that, there are so many routes we could go through with this. But I think that, you know, our whole world, we have alienated the soil, the water, the crops.
You're very right.
Nothing is the way that it used to be or should be. So I think that is worth saying. But if you had a question there that Tanya thinks she can answer.
No, just a comment about how this is becoming, maybe we're just more aware of it. And so therefore, we want to have something that will help our little babies get along and not suffer.
Well, we're all about the health here for
yes.
sure. But one of the things your book talks about quite a bit is SEACT.
Mm-hmm.
And SEACT.
SEACT.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history?
Yes, and it's a very colorful history, so it's fun to talk about. It actually goes back about 125 years, believe it or not. There was a British woman who went to Canada, to Ontario, to be with her husband who was mining in the mining town or something. And when she got there, she had developed a very hard breast cancer tumor. Hmm. And but there were also some Native Americans in the area where he was mining. And one of them was an old medicine man, an old shaman, thought to be of the Ojibwa tribe, but I don't know if that's been proven. But at any rate, he told her, he saw the breast cancer tumor, and he said, I know what can cure you. And he told her about an herbal remedy, but she didn't believe him. And she went to a specialist doctor in Toronto, and the doctor said, yep, that's breast cancer, and we have to remove your breast. And she didn't want that, plus she didn't have the money to pay for the surgery.
And
I said it back 125 years. It was literally in the mid 1890s.
Wow.
Which is really interesting. It was way back then. And she came over on a boat. You know, we didn't even have airplanes that would do that. Mm-hmm. So, so she came back to the mining town and found the medicine man again and said she would like his remedy. So he showed her which herbs to pick. They were all local. And how to, what, you know, proportions of each herb to put together and how to brew them up into a tea is literally a decoction, which means that you have to boil it for quite a while to get all the medicinal qualities out of it. But it ends up a tea that you drink. And you only have to drink a little bit twice a day, morning and night, or three times a day sometimes. But he told her to drink it twice a day. And she did. And she completely cured herself with this tea. And it's
amazing.
It's really a great story. And the story gets even better. Then about 30 years later, she was more of an elderly woman at the time. She ended up in the hospital in Toronto or someplace in Canada for another reason. She'd been cancer-free for years and years. But the head nurse at the hospital saw the scars on her breast that had been caused by the cancer and asked her about it. And she told the head nurse about this remedy. The head nurse was a woman named Reen Case, C-A-I-S-S-E. And she ended up, Reen Case became a very important figure with SEACT because she got the formula from this British woman and she decided that if she ever got cancer or someone she knew got cancer, she would use it. So not too long later, her aunt developed cancer and it was a very advanced cancer and was only given 6 months to live. And Reen thought, well, I might as well brew up the tea. And she did. And she gave it to her aunt. And her aunt had a complete cure. And in hindsight later, what happened was that aunt lived another 21 years, actually, cancer-free.
Wow.
And then not too long after that, her mother got cancer. And her mother's cancer was also very extreme and advanced. And the doctors gave her just days to live.
Mm.
And she brewed up the tea for her mother, and the mother had a complete recovery also and lived another 18 years and died at the age of 90.
Wow.
And it was all cancer-free years. And so then Reen Case ended up naming the tea. She spelled her last name backwards. So her late name was C-A-I-S-S-E. She flipped all the letters and named it ESIAC. And she gave it to, she had to work with a doctor because she wasn't a physician, so she couldn't legally treat cancer patients. But she worked with a doctor always, and she ended up giving this tea to thousands of cancer patients in Canada for the next 60 years. And what happened was, at some point during that time, people in the United States began hearing about it, heard stories of people recovering, and they got interested. It got onto the radio and some of the news in the US. And the personal physician to President John F. Kennedy got interested. He was a very highly esteemed doctor in Massachusetts, and but he was very open-minded to alternative holistic approaches, and he invited her down to Massachusetts to his clinic to work with him on potentiating the formula and giving it to a bunch of his cancer clients and seeing how it did. And so they ended up adding a few herbs and making an even better, stronger formula, cured a lot of people of cancer with it here in the US. And Dr. Bruch, did I say his name? His name was Charles Bruch. I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
Okay.
But he's the one that was the personal physician to President John F. Kennedy. He's quoted as saying, ESIAC is a cure for cancer, period. And that's a very famous cure.
And it's a bold statement.
That is a very bold statement.
Very bold, yeah, because he was also very, very well known. So he wouldn't have made that statement if he didn't absolutely believe it. And since then, just a lot of people have used ESIAC tea. It's actually sold in, as far as I know, all the English-speaking countries. You know, it's sold in Canada, the U.S., it's sold in Great Britain, in Australia, New Zealand, and lots and lots of, tens of thousands of people with cancer have used it. What happened was I then found out that there's a source in Massachusetts for this more highly developed form of ESIAC. I call it highly developed because it's the one where Reen Case and Dr. Bruch worked on it together. And there's a place in Massachusetts that now sells it as an 8-herb tea. It used to be a 4-herb tea from the medicine man, but they made it an 8-herb tea. They set the proportions of each herb exactly as they're supposed to be and powder it. And then they sell that form in little packets, and it's really easy to brew up. So there's a lot of people that are doing it very easily. The thing that I loved is that this source of ESIAC in Massachusetts just has a ton of really great recovery stories. And most of them, I would have to say, are still people with cancer. But there are a lot of animal, you know, recovery stories, many, many dog recovery stories. So it was easy for me to find a bunch of cases for the book. And I have 16 dog cases and 6 cat cases in the book.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is tremendous. I used ESIAC tea.
Yeah, tell us your story, Kat.
So in 2006, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It wasn't advanced, fortunately. And I thought about it and I thought, like, well, what do I know I can do? And what do I need to have happen? And what I needed to have happen, I knew clearly I needed to have it surgically removed. So I did not have a mastectomy. I had a lumpectomy. And I had it surgically removed. And then I refused other treatment. The only other thing that I did was a type of radiation that was created here in Phoenix by Dr. Robert Kusky. He's absolutely amazing. And as I understand, he retired, but it's called brachytherapy. Anyway, I refused chemotherapy, so my surgeon told me goodbye. I refused tamoxifen. I refused. And I healed, and I healed wonderfully. About 18 months later, and I also had a lot of alternative things that I did, including ESIAC tea. About 18 months later, I felt a lump on the other side. I was never diagnosed. I just told my doctor, give me 6 months. Told my naturopath, give me 6 months. And among the things that I did was also going back to drinking ESIAC tea. Within 6 months, the lump was gone. What was it? I don't know. I can't say that that was the, I cannot say that that was the cure or that that's what got rid of it or whatever. I will say that I chose not to do chemotherapy. I'm around and some of my friends at the same time are not. I chose not to do tamoxifen. I'm around and some of my friends that have had breast cancer and chose tamoxifen or not. It was my choice, my way, my thing. And the ESIAC was part of all the things that I did.
And you get those nasty side effects like you would with the tamoxifen.
Yeah, no yeah. nasty side effects. The nastiest side effect, I think, was the fact that I had to go vegan for a little while. And that was just horrifying.
Got missed her meat.
I missed my meat.
Wow. You made some great choices. Very good.
Yeah. Well, and so as we're talking about this, I mean, let's say someone listening, someone viewing is faced with this journey with their pet. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's advanced stages.
Right.
What would you, if someone were to ask you, reading your book, if they are in advanced stages, what if they're considering, like Kat did, doing something like the ESIAC versus the chemotherapy or radiation?
Right. That's a really good question. So the way I see it, and I've been, looking into cancer cases for 22 years now at this point. Chemotherapy and radiation are both very toxic. So they act fast on tumors to reduce the size of the tumors, but they're very poor at bringing about long-term cures. So, and for various reasons that I won't take the time to go into here, but they're all scientific reasons. So the way I see it is that chemotherapy or radiation do have a place in medicine, but really only short term, and usually in order to maybe reduce a large tumor if the tumor is interfering with an important organ or something. Like, for instance, you have a tumor that's blocking your intestinal tract, you got to get that to get smaller quickly. And so sometimes something like radiation or chemotherapy can do that. But then you want to switch to an alternative approach that's non-toxic, because literally all alternative approaches that are not, they're called alternative because they're just not approved by the FDA for cancer, but they're all non-toxic. Yes. And so the non-toxic approaches are much better at achieving a long-term cure. So if you don't have to get the chemo to or radiation to reduce a tumor quickly, then don't do it. Don't do the chemo or radiation. Like Kat here, just go for the alternative stuff. And you can do a combination with ESIAC like Kat did, but some people have done it just with ESIAC alone for their dog or cat. And the stories in my book, I really, because I'm a big animal lover like you, and I really wanted to help more animals and pet parents. And you were talking about the rate of cancer in dogs earlier, and some experts believe that in the modern Western world, like the US or Canada or Europe, dogs have the highest rate of cancer of any mammal on the planet now.
Mm. Wow.
That's what some experts believe. Now, I don't have the numbers and I can't prove it, but I think there's truth to that. And there are reasons for it once you start looking into it. So it's a very big issue. And I'm hoping that when people look at this book, if they have a pet that they're maybe worried about, or they want to know what to do if something comes up, then they can see that this kind of thing, SEACT, is really powerful and can cure people too, and hopefully will cure people as well. But mostly my aim is to help the pets and the pet parents so they don't have to go through the loss of their beloved companions.
Well, that actually kind of makes sense, though, that that theory, that because I tell, being a trainer,
yes,
I tell my clients all the time, we have to be patient with our dogs in training. And where a lot of it gets lost is most of it is communication for effective training.
Yes.
But partly is, as humans, we don't really give them enough compassion. And we have to approach it that you have to realize their perspective is completely different from ours. And I say that to usher in that we're forcing them to live a life that we've domesticated them into. And so when you think about the statement that's been made that some experts, quote unquote, see dogs, domesticated dogs in developed countries having the highest rate, well, so are we. And we're forcing them into this life. They ride in the car with us and are subject to that pollution. Our food comes from the same sources, even if it's processed differently. If we're feeding kibble versus fresh, it's still from the same same sources. When we talk about core ingredients, the air we breathe, the water we drink, we're sharing all of that with them. Our lifestyle, if it's more sedentary, we don't get out of nature as much. Even if we like to take our dogs out and go to the park or the lake or the mountains and go hiking, we don't get as much nature as we used to in general in the developed countries. So if you think about that, that actually kind of makes sense.
It does. It does. And you know, the other thing that's amazing about our dogs, and the reason why Digby came to me, is that they are so in tune with our stress.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are so in tune with our emotions, our sickness, and they take it upon themselves.
That's why so many dogs have anxiety now.
Yes. Yeah. They take our stuff upon themselves. So anything that we can do to make their lives better, and anything that we can do to you know, just bring this, any suffering down, how can we let them?
Yeah.
They're so good.
Well, that's why we're here. We're trying to talk to people who've researched and see what we can find out. So as we're talking about that, Tanya, can you tell us about some cases in your book?
Oh, I would love to. And just to finish up this topic too, that you're mentioning, you know, the book is pretty much all about SEAC and how to use it in the pet stories themselves. And I have a photo of each pet in the book. One of the chapters I have is actually titled Knowing What Not to Do. And so in that chapter, I do list a number of the cancer-causing things that that can cause cancer in our dogs. So, for instance, I'll start with one case, which is a really sweet German short-haired pointer that developed cancer. And it was a pretty good-sized tumor right at the back of, and bottom of its neck in the back. And it was this dog named Mo, M-O-E, was very, very sick, and had gotten to a point where he was having trouble walking and not eating and hardly holding his head up. And the owners took him to the vet, and the vet said, basically, it's an incurable cancer and we can't cure it. We can't do anything. And I'm still a little unclear as to why they couldn't do anything, but I think they couldn't perform surgery because it may have been involved with the spine or something.
Because maybe he wasn't a good candidate.
Yeah.
Somehow it wasn't a good candidate. Anyway, the vet said that Mo had, you know, maybe 3 weeks to live. And the owners were able to SEACT right away. And the woman, usually SEACT is only given twice a day or maybe three times a day, but she gave it to him four times a day because he was so near death. And he perked up within a week or so and started getting better and better, and he had a complete cure. And the thing about this story that's so important, and I make it clear in the book, because he's one of the cases in the book, is that tumor at the bottom of his neck, in the back, occurred right where they had given their dog this transdermal flea treatment every month for 3 years, right on that spot. So it was pretty hard not to assume that probably contributed to this cancer developing. And what happened was the pet parents decided they were never going to give because the flea treatments are often really, they're very toxic. They're actually pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what happened was they decided they're never going to give that to their dogs again. And the woman found an alternative treatment product called Flea Free that you put in their food or water, and it does a great job of killing the fleas and keeping the dog flea free. So there's information about how people can get that if they want. But there's other things like that in that chapter. I want to say something about the corgi case that I have. Now, it's not a corgi case in my book because it came to me after the book was published, but this is the case of Layla, Tawny's dog.
That's our friend. Tawny from Shade.dm. Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one that introduced me to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened was her story came to me after the book was already out, but I've got Layla's story on my website. So what happened with Layla was when she was about 7 years old, she developed a mass on her side. And this was about a year ago in spring of 2023. And the vets weren't sure what it was at first. One tumor was diagnosed as sarcoma. And then another tumor popped up right next to it. And that one turned out to be subcutaneous hemangiosarcoma, mm-hmm. which is basically what they say, what the vets said. She took her dog to several different vets and oncology specialists to make sure. So she did a really good job of you know, seeking out the right help. And they all said, this is an incurable cancer of the blood vessels, and that they could give the dog chemo, but it would never be a cure. So rather than put Layla through the chemo, if it wasn't going to cure her, and they gave her 3 weeks to 3 months to live.
Yeah.
And when they gave her that prognosis, that was about 9 months ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Layla's not only still alive, she's actually very, very happy and healthy and active. She runs and she swims, and you've seen some videos of her. She's really happy. And
oh yeah, our Chuckles and Mortimer and Boog have all gone and partied with her kind of recently at the pool. So yeah.
Maybe I could tell you about a little dog, a Lhasa Apso, one of the tiny little dogs. This was a cute little guy. His name was Hondro, which was short for Alejandro.
Aww.
And nice. Really cute little dog. And this Hondro developed a tumor in his sinuses, in his nose, basically. And it was a squamous cell carcinoma, very fast growing, very deadly. And the vets all said that chemo wouldn't work for it very well, so they didn't suggest chemo. And they couldn't do radiation because the tumor was too close to the dog's brain and eyes, so it'd be too mm-hmm. risky. So the dog had no options, but they happened to know about SEACT. And by the way, I want to mention here that most of the cases in my book used the SEACT from Massachusetts that actually was the form that Dr. Charles Bruch and Reen Case developed. And the source of it is a brand called Genuine SEAC at genuineseac.com. And I don't make any money from the sales of SEAC or any of the other treatments in my book, but I really believe in that product because I've got so many great testimonials from it. And so the owners of Hondro got some genuine SEAC and gave it to Hondro. Within 5 weeks, the vet couldn't see the tumor anymore, which is really fast. And I have to say, cancer doesn't usually go away that quickly, but in his case, it did. And then they kept him on it for a while, which is always a good idea because you can't see ever less cancer cells. So you want to keep giving it.
Yes.
And that dog, Hondro, was diagnosed with cancer when he was 15 years old. He lived another 5 years cancer-free and died of it at age 20.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
I know. I mean, you can see why I call this a cure and why Dr. Bruch called it a cure. Cases from my book. Another really good one, and I put her whole case on the website, too, that people can read if they want. A pit bull named Lulu, beautiful, beautiful pit bull that was rescued from a shelter she was probably going to be put down. And she ended up getting very, very sick, and the vets did ultrasounds and x-rays and found out that she had a very large tumor in her stomach that had ruptured. So she was bleeding internally and a metastasized tumor on her spleen, I believe it was. The vets said the only thing they could do would be a very extensive surgery that would cost thousands of dollars and would not be curative in the long run. The cancer would come back. So it was really no good options. And the owners couldn't afford thousands of dollars for the surgery. So, and that's a serious issue for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So they had heard from a friend or something about SEACT. They got this version, the genuine SEAC, and started giving it to Lulu. And within less than a week, she perked up and started feeling better and running around. She had a complete cure. They didn't do anything else. No surgery, no chemo, no radiation. She had a complete cure, and she's still alive as far as I know. I talked to the owners last year, and that was in, I think it was 7 years ago that she was diagnosed.
Wow.
She's had a really good recovery too.
That's amazing. So I have a question with SEAC.
Yeah.
Is there a dosage of SEAC that is preventative? So you take a diluted cup a day, or is that something? And that's question number one. Question number two, because I do this. Question number two is there anything else that SEAC is good for? Usually herbal remedies are a plethora of things.
Yeah, those are great questions too. So the dosage of SEAC, what was the first question exactly?
Is there a preventative dosage, or preventative. Do you just like have afternoon tea with SEAC to stay healthy or something like that?
I know Tawny does.
Okay,
since she gives it to Layla, I know Tawny takes.
Yeah. So there's certainly, you know, it's a little hard to study prevention. You know, it's like you have to wait 20 years to see if the cancer comes back or something. Right. Like whatever. But theoretically, yes, it would be a very good thing, because any of the alternative treatments that are really good, that are non-toxic, can be used preventively if you want to take them for a while. And usually it's not a treatment that stays in your body and continues working for years or anything like that. But it, what it does is, if you have any, or your animal has any little bit of cancer developing, and you give it SEAC for long enough, the SEAC will most likely get rid of that. And, you know, it's up to you as to how long you want to do that. So we don't have any actual evidence to say, you know, give this much for this long for prevention. But, you know, people can kind of judge for themselves after they look into the SEAC a while. And the one thing I say with people for preventing, too, is try to find out more about what the cancer-causing things are, like the flea treatments that are toxic. And there's some other things, as I mentioned in my book, that people can look into. And I didn't actually go into food so much, because that's such a big topic. I'll let other vets, you know, do books on food, but that's also part of it. So, you know, trying to stay away from cancer-causing things. You can use SEAC for prevention, for sure. If your animal has active cancer, twice a day should be given, like morning and night, or three times a day if you need to when the cancer is really advanced. So some people usually, and the dosing also goes by the weight of the animal. So there's a smaller dose for a Chihuahua than there is for a St. Bernard.
Of course.
Which is smart. And so with one of the things I really enjoyed about the book was that I did find out there were a number of other things that SEAC works for. And for instance, some of the dogs that were given SEAC who had arthritic hips found, you know, the owners found all of a sudden the dogs are running up and down the stairs, you know, when they couldn't before. And then lipomas, even the fatty lipomas that some dogs get a lot, especially in old age. One case in my book, there was a dog that had two large fatty lipomas on its side, and one of them was so big it was like if you cut a grapefruit in half and slapped that half on the side of the dog. That's how big it was. And it had been there for a long time. It hadn't changed. It was just sitting there. But they decided to give it SEAC, and within 3 months those fatty lipomas were virtually gone. You couldn't see them. You could feel a tiny bit of a bump when you ran your fingers along it. But that can help people that have dogs with fatty lipomas that are kind of getting out of control. Plus, a really good thing about SEAC, which is part of the reason why I wanted to make the pet cancer book about it, is because it works on benign tumors. Lipomas are also benign tumors, but it works on other types of benign tumors as well. Like if a dog has a large tumor in the intestinal tract, or you know, in their kidneys, or in any place else, even in the lungs, if it's benign, SEAC will still work on it, whereas many of the other alternative treatments that are great treatments for cancer only work on malignant cancer and malignant tumors. So it's interesting, because as you look into the field, you find that there's different aspects of cancer or benign tumors that vary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the different treatments that are alternative, you probably looked into this cat, but they all work in different ways.
Everything works in a different way, and yeah. Yes, absolutely, depending on your constitution, your body, your cancer, there's so much. So it's good to know that it works on benign tumors as well. And somebody may say, well, it's benign. If it's benign, it's benign. Yeah, it's benign when they do, a needle biopsy or something like that, and yay, I don't have cancer. However, you still want to get rid of it.
You still know it's still not supposed to be there.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be there. You want to do some alternative things to keep your body healthy. All that's saying is, your body's not able to, or your dog's body or your cat's body is not able to fight this. Let's give them something that will help you fight it. And that's really all we can do.
Yeah. SEAC does a lot for the body, and actually, because it's herbal and it has so many herbs in it, we don't even know all of the ways it works on the cancer.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, one of the cases I wanted to briefly mention, because it's a big issue, is, there's a lot of dogs that are getting tumors on their back legs or their front legs. And then the vet recommends removal of the leg.
Sorry. Amputation. Yeah, amputation.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So there was this dog that's in my book named Miss Bailey. She was a 13-year-old Labrador, so she was older. And she developed a very aggressive sarcoma on her back leg, but within just a short time, like a couple of weeks or something, turned into three tumors on its back leg. And the first one opened up and became an oozing infected wound. And the vet at that point basically said, the only thing we can do is amputate her leg or put her down within the week. So she had literally a week to live if they didn't get the amputation. But the owner felt, you know, this dog is 13 years old. Labradors may only live to 14 or 15 sometimes. And she didn't want to make her dog go through that difficult of recovery. And she found out about this genuine SEAC and she gave it to the dog. The dog's name is Miss Bailey. And Miss Bailey had a complete recovery. And so that dog did not need to have its leg amputated. Now, I can't say it's going to work for every single case, but the truth is amputations aren't a complete cure for every single case. I've known cases where the dog's leg is amputated and everybody thinks, oh, it's fine now, the cancer's gone. And then a couple months or three or four months later, the cancer's back and the dog is put down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
It's an alternative. So this is an alternative treatment to explore. We have some anecdotes.
Yes, we have some anecdotes. And it's also something that if you choose the route of surgery, as Tanya and I were saying, if you choose the route of surgery or chemo or radiation or any of the other cancer treatments, if you choose that route, all you're doing with the ESIAC is, and so many other alternative cancer treatments, including something as simple as vitamin C, you're building up the body's immune system. You know what it's like when somebody is going through chemo and it really wears you down. So you're just building up. Yeah. Let's say it's nothing else, but it keeps you strong. It keeps you healthy so that you can fight it. So whatever you choose to do, having something, my opinion, having something additional can really help.
Especially since it can be such a hopeless diagnosis.
Yes.
Having some alternative options to explore is not a bad thing. We're not claiming at all that, this is the cure. But we have some anecdotes. It's good information to have. Mm-hmm. Yes. And as such, this book that Tanya wrote here is Outsmart Your Pet's Cancer. And Tanya, please tell our listeners how we can purchase this book or how we can find you.
Sure. So the book is on Amazon.com and it's in paperback as well as Kindle. I have a website just for this book called OutsmartYourPetsCancer.com. So that's easy to go to. Yes. And there's sample cases. People can read and look at the pictures of the dogs and cats that are in the sample cases. There's a link on my website to the Amazon page or they can go to Amazon directly.
So. Perfect. Well, I will share those links in the description box of both the YouTube video and on our audio platforms. Tanya, we're going to let you go so you can enjoy the rest of your evening. But thank you so much for coming on the show and educating us and sharing with us your research.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you for what you guys do.
I want to say thank you for the help with Tawny.
Yeah.
Because we love her so much.
Yeah, we love little Layla.
We love
her spiciness. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tawny is really helping a lot of dogs in her nonprofit organization.
Yes, she is.
Layla's doing great, plus lots of other cases. So, you know, I hope a lot of people will be open to this. I really do.
We just had a lady in Tucson that I'm not sure how Tanya got connected with her, but the lady is battling breast cancer and she's using the ESIAC. Great. And she had Tawny had me meet her husband here in Phoenix nearby to get her some. She ran out and couldn't get it in a short period of time. So Tawny was really grateful that we could make that happen for her. So it's a good thing to know about. And of course, pause together for anyone facing this journey, human or beast. We don't want that, but we hope that you found this information helpful. Tanya, thank you so much for your time. We're going to let you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay. You guys take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
I just learned that you had used ESIAC. I didn't know that you did. I knew you did some of the alternative therapies.
Yes. Yeah. ESIAC was one of them. And AveMar was something else. AveMar is more for people who are actually doing chemo, that it helps to flush the excess chemo out of your body.
Okay. Yeah.
There's so many. We could do like 1,000 episodes on just all the alternative things. First and foremost, keep yourself healthy.
Right.
You know.
And talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor always.
Talk to your vet.
Talk to your vet. Keep your dogs healthy. Keep yourself healthy. That's the first line of defense.
Really. Your mind too. Listen to our show. We can make you laugh with our silly antics.
This is true. We're fun.
Well, we hope that you learned a lot here. We're fun. We're crazy. Sometimes we might be annoying.
Never.
But we are here for you every week. All things Corgi, Pet Parent Lifestyle, Candy, Chuckles, Mortimer, Booger, Tito, Indy, Digby,
and Catherine.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.